can be seated. Thank you. Thank you for the VET worship team. We're going to play your DVD if we get this right.
Worship is really the key to inspiration. When we give God worship and He touches us in the deepest of our beings.
And as soon as we just acknowledge our absolute reliance on His grace.
God wants you to move into it. Your character and your anointing in the same place, growing together
so that we can meditate on it and it can change us because we're the ones that need to change. God doesn't need to change.
There's joy in life as well. There's salvation in life. There's the reality of walking out in this world and there's so much beauty.
God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. God is greatly glorified when we need nothing outside of Him and what He gives us.
Okay, we're doing lots of marketing here this morning. I don't know if you did it last week. I just want to share quickly on the Bible school. Is it 4th or the 6th March? 4th, the first Thursday of March, our Bible school will start. Like we've said, we're doing so many courses and stuff going on, but for me it's just important to highlight the Bible school also. So it's every Thursday, it will be from 6 till 8 in the evening, and it's an interdenominational. It's a big word. It just means it's open to any church. So, really, any church. And we want to keep it that way. We want to profess it that way. It is open for every church or any church. Anyone that wants to learn more about God's Word, please join. The first 3 Sundays will be free. You can just come and check it out. You can even tell your friends. If they think we're weird or we're kind of strange people, tell them, well, just check them out for 3 weeks. That's also fine. Just let them come. And so, amen. I hope that is blessed and we'll have a good turnout this year. And normally, sermons on a Sunday should be, or it is more based on just sharing the vision of where God is taking us. So in our church, for the last couple of years, we have actually, I wouldn't say we neglected it, but the teaching of the Word of God, we don't always have time for it on a Sunday to teach on specifics. You know, what does that word in that scripture mean? Let's teach about tithing and all those things. Let's teach about prophecy, the gifts of the Father, all those things. We don't always have time to teach on them on a Sunday morning. Sermons do include some teaching, so, and I've heard from, I think it was the young people or the young small group, that they would like more teaching. You know, what does the Word of God say about this? So if you if you have those questions, then Bible school is the answer. Okay. And we're also trusting God that in this year, just I'm sharing it, I'm putting it out there, that next year we'll continue foundation with Bible school too. But all of that requires lots of resources, meaning people that will help us with Bible school 2, and then we're going to have Bible school 1 again. The purpose is to have Bible school first year all the time, second year all the time, and third year. So we have a constant stream of people. So what I'm saying is, be prepared that if you go through Bible school 1 this year, we'd like to make use of you next year, even to teach some of the lectures. At the moment, most of the lectures will be DVDs that will be shown, but the ultimate is to have people that teach there, that stand in front and teach it. Because it's interactive, then you can stop him and you can ask a question, but that needs lots of people. So, if God is calling you to help with Bible school, just be obedient. Amen. Are you excited about it, the Bible school? Yes, amen. Praise God. I also believe that as one teaches constantly and just bring the word in, spiritual strongholds will start breaking. Because there's so many lies that people believe, that people out there believe, and it's for us to break those lies down. Tell them what the word of God says. Amen. Okay, great. There's a full church here this morning. I'm very happy to see all everyone here, all the new faces, old faces. New and old meaning not in age. You with me? Okay. Well, I'm going to share today on, well, the topic is the gift to the world. Now, before I get to that, if you can quickly think, what was the best gift you've ever received? Not going to be at Christmas or birthday. I don't know where you all get gifts. I only got gifts at Christmas or birthday. What was the best gift that you can remember? I'm now over 20. I'm not going to say exactly how old I am. I'm over 20. So I don't get all these nice gifts anymore. So what are some of the gifts that you remember? Can somebody tell me? Oh, and yeah. Somebody, any gift that you can remember? Hey, Uncle says thanks for his wife. I also do. Anyway, I remember my Legos. Legos, do you know what Legos is? Lego, oh, sorry. It's like Oros or Oros. Which one is it? For me, it's Oros. For Heidi, it's Oros. For me, it's Lego. For them, it's Legos. I don't know. But Legos, these blockies. I love those things. I had this gift. I remember, I don't know when I got it for, what I got it. It was these fancy Technic Legos. That I could actually build a car out of it. A real car with wheels and suspension and a gearbox. And you could put it into first, second, and third gear. And if you put it in first and you push the car, the pistons would go quickly. You put it into third, then it would go slowly. And second, you know, in between. That is amazing. And you could build also a little other bucky out of it. You had a bucky and a sports car. Now, that gift, I don't know where it is actually. I asked my mother the other day where my Legos is. She said it's somewhere there in Windhoek. I'd like to give them to my children. But anyway, if you look at that gift, if you remember that gift, now nowadays, I don't know, we grow old and you know, the gifts just become bigger, I guess. Now we need a new car. That would be like, whoa, Legos won't do it anymore. But if you remember that gift, it's nice to receive that thing, isn't it? It seems like I must stir up people here. But when you receive that thing, if it's Christmas or birthday and it's wrapped up, my mother was the one that could always meticulously wrap up these things, you know. And it's so weird, you always rip those things apart. And she actually kept them, but for me it's such a waste of time wrapping things up. But I know women think differently. And they do it properly. It's not like I do it. It must just be closed. But if you open up that thing and you see that gift and you actually like the gift, how do you feel? It's nice, you know. And isn't it Valentine's Day today? Is it? It's the 14th. So hopefully all the men remembered. And I'm not looking at the men because some are very skuldig now. They're feeling very... But if you've forgotten men, remember something, go to some shop afterwards, buy something, give it to your wife. Chocolates, I don't think you'll find flowers anymore. Anyway, I planned ahead. My wife has got her flowers. Okay, amen. So, but it's nice to receive that gift. And the Word of God is filled with gifts where God actually gives us stuff. And that's what I want to share about here this morning, is that God has given us so many things. And in most cases, we're going to talk about the spiritual things that God has given us, the spiritual gifts that God has given us. But you know what? It is so amazing. Okay, I don't have children yet, but I can buy gifts to my dogs. And they quite enjoy it. You know, you get these little ducks that, when you press them. When I got that thing to my dog one day, he loves it. He actually ate the whole thing. I don't know where it is. It's finished. It's gone. But he enjoys it. And he always, you know. So there's a place of receiving a gift. It's amazing. But it's also amazing to give something to somebody and then see the reaction on that person's face. Isn't that so? Okay, we're going to talk about both today. But now, in God's Word, I'm just going to quickly run through the gifts that God has given us. And once again, for you to understand all of these in detail, you'll have to go to Bible school, because we're not going to teach on all of them, and there's a specific module for each of these gifts. I'm just going to run through them. But I want to paint this picture of God is a giving God. He gives. Amen. Okay, there's gifts of the Father. Romans 12, verse 6 to 8. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Okay, now here they come. These are now the gifts of the Father. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Now we spoke about prophecy. We all know a little bit what prophecy is now. This service, in service. If service, in his serving. Service is like those ladies at the back doing the coffee. They don't ask me for payment to do it. They don't moan and groan if they have to do it every Sunday. They like doing it. Mostly women are these serving type of people. They're the women that make food for the husband. And they don't complain about it. They enjoy it. So in church, one of the gifts of the Father is just to serve. Meaning to give of yourself. And that's we're praying this morning actually, and I just really felt, I'll just share it quickly, that it's so important to find a body of Christ where you can serve in. Meaning find a church like this one where you can sit every Sunday, where you can go to these small groups, whatever they have, and just serve there. Not serve, serve. Just give of yourself. But so many times Christians, they go from the one church to the other one, and the body of Christ does not benefit. And it's not that the body of Christ needs us so much, but it doesn't benefit from the gifts that you can give, because you, where are you? You know, just find a church. I really felt them. I say that again. Just find somewhere where you can serve. You know, well, like we said, we need volunteers. Find somewhere where you can sit down, where you're happy with the pastor, with what he's preaching, with what he's saying, and do something somewhere. Help. Okay. Or he who teaches in his teaching. We all know what teaching is. Or he exhorts in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence. Now there are a couple of their teaching we know. Exhortation is just that where we uplift somebody, we build somebody up. But that all these things comes naturally. I really feel that the gifts of the fathers, of the Father, is those type of things that just come naturally. Some people just serve naturally. My wife is like that. I'm not really like that. But it comes naturally. Some other people exhort. They just encourage you. They never have a bad word. They're never critical. They just always say, you're the best. Amen. But what I want to say here this morning is God has given you one or more, maybe more than one of them, but he's given you one of these. Gifts of the Father. He's given you one of these or more of them. And it's for us, like that scripture says, to exercise them. Amen. But I must go on. Then let's go to the gifts of the Son, because I'm not actually preaching about the specific gifts. The gifts of the Son, Ephesians 4 verse 11, is now the gifts of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has also given gifts to Christians, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So once again, I want to say that if you're a Christian, if you believe, if you give your life to Jesus Christ, to God, you have a gift of the Father, and you have a gift of the Son. One of those gifts, those ones are not reserved for people that are in full-time ministry. Somewhere, God has instilled, deposited something in you, you're going to operate under that apostle, pastor, teacher. And for maybe it's difficult for you to fathom, but God has placed that gift in you. It is for us to take it out, bring it out. Amen? Alright, then the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You don't really have to write down all these things. Just for us to know how many gifts there actually are. And we spoke about prophecy. It's important to note, I think, that gifts of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, prophecy is in all three of them. So we spoke about prophecy. But gifts of the Holy Spirit, it's that when we get filled with the Holy Spirit leaves something in our spirit. Or when some elder or somebody prays for you to receive the Holy Spirit, there is one or more of these gifts that are in you. We can sometimes operate in all of them, but there will be a specific one in which you excel in. There will be a specific one in which you feel drawn to. You feel that you can minister in this. Words of wisdom. Words of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, effecting of miracles or gifts of miracles, prophecy, once again, distinguishing of spirits. Do you know what that one means? That means you get these people, my wife is like that, but they can summarize people's motives. Or not only people, but what's happening, they can pick it up and say, I'm sensing something is wrong there. And it's, in most cases, it's just to warn us or to for us to pray strategically, but you pick up something is wrong here. This distinguishing of spirits, different kinds of tongues, and then the interpretation of tongues. I mean, that was just introduction. So what I'm going to tell you here this morning, if you walk out of here, you must like walk out of here and saying, Lord, what is the gift of the Father that you've given me? What is the gift of the Holy Spirit and of the Son that you've given me? Where do you want me to operate? And I want to tell you here this morning that everyone has received a gift in all three of these areas. Nobody has been overlooked. God is fair. God is not going to say, you'll give Theo some of them, the pastors get all of these, and then these people that don't really want to serve me, they get nothing. God does not work like that. God even gives those gifts to unbelievers. They have them. They just don't cultivate them. Somebody must stir up that gift in them. Somebody must pray and revive that thing in them. God is fair, if I can say this morning. God does not like MTV or whatever TV we're nowadays, where everything is about competition and only the fittest survive. That's this whole evolution thing basically boils down to that only the fittest survive. If you need to evolve and if you're weak, we need to get rid of you. That's why evolutionists will also try and get rid of old people that are no more use to society. They're thinking along those lines, you know. They want to get, that's why abortion is also another big problem for them, because it's, you know, it's, we must just evolve. We must get somewhere. We must, the strongest survive. But God doesn't work like that. God has created everyone in the image of God. We carry something of God with us. Amen. All right, is everybody still with me? Okay, Romans 11 verse 29. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Now, I don't know about you, but anywhere in this world, if you sign some or other contract or some or other deal or somebody gives you something, there's always a condition to this thing. I was at an auction on Friday of a house. I was just praying that God would help me keep my hands down because I didn't want to do this. And then, whoa, I had to pay a few million for a house or something. I always get so scared of these auctions. Just, Lord, keep my hands down. In Jesus' name, don't lift up your hands. But there was this whole contract conditions to this sale or to this auction. You can get this house, but this and this needs to apply. You will have to do this and pay this much and so forth. And everything in life is like that. Nothing is for free in this life, unfortunately. No, but we don't get to a place where people just, I must admit, I like these things on TV, I can't remember which channel, whether Home Improvement, what's it? Extreme Home Makeover, where they actually take somebody's house and they just tell them to go on a holiday for 7 days, and when they come back, they've knocked the whole house down, they've given them a new house. Hopefully there's no contract there that says also something. You'll have to live in this house. You cannot sell this house. I don't think it is, but that's at least an image of somebody that gives something with no strings attached. There's nothing I need from you in return. I give it. Take it and you can do with it what you want. And God does not add strings to what He gives. He does not say, I will give you this if you do this and this. If you serve me, I'll give you an anointing. I'll give you words of prophecy or words of wisdom and knowledge. He gives it. And we can do with that gift what we want. He's also not going to take it back. That's what this word irrevocable means. Or other translation says without repenting. Meaning repentance means turning back. There's no turning back when God gives these things. He says, I've blessed you, Theo. If you serve me or if you don't serve me, if you get saved or not saved, I've given you this gift. And this is what I want to say this morning. God has given it to you. And you don't have to feel like, oh Lord, for 5 years I haven't served you. I haven't prayed. Is the gift gone? Am I going to get it back? It's there. It's given. It's irrevocable. Amen? And sometimes I've come across this religious thinking in our lives. And I have that thing too. And I come across Christians that have it. And I want to get that out of us. You know, you get Christians that are blessed financially. And then some have this, oh, when is God going to take it away? This is just a season, I guess. You know, we have this thing about God wants to take gifts back, or God wants to bless with conditions. He always attaches strings. Some people have this religious thinking that someday it's going to just all fall apart. And that's something that we must get out of our mind. God, if He says, I give, He's not going to take it back. We can mess it around and throw it away, but He does not want to take it back. Amen? So if what I want to say this to you this morning is the gift that you have, maybe you've never know what it is, maybe it's never been stirred up in you, it's not going to go anywhere. You can sin, it's not going to go anywhere. Anointing is a different thing. I'm not going to preach on anointing. But the people walk in different anointings. There's certain people, they've got such an anointing, and that anointing, I don't think it's related to your works, but it's related to our holiness and our consecration to God. But the fact is that gift is there. No strings attached. 1 Peter 4 verse 10. Is everybody still with me? 1 Peter 4 verse 10. As each of you has received a gift, a particular spiritual talent, a gracious divine endowment, employ it for one another as good trustees of God's many-sided grace, faithful stewards of the extremely diverse powers and gifts granted to Christians by unmerited favor. If you want to help somebody fall asleep in church, you read from the Amplified. Because I've lost so many people right there in this verse. But it says here, where am I? Employ it for one another. Employ to me means make use of it. Put it to work. Somewhere find an outlet for this gift. Open some doors so that it can go. And for what? And this is also something that needs to be set right in God's kingdom. For what are all these gifts? Why all these gifts? And sometimes we think it's to make tricks or perform stuff to impress people. It's not. God does not make us anointed or anoints us or blesses us so that we can look funny or that people can see, wow, look at them. It's for what? It is for one another. As good trustees of God's many-sided grace. So God's gifts are there to employ to other people. To bless them with. It is not to gain wealth and gain stuff for ourselves. It is there to employ to other people. We must get this right. It is for service of the body of Christ. It is for service for mankind, for people. Amen. You can have a gift. You can try and win a war with your old Drinal 6 or whatever these guns are, the old farmers had, Darachnal 6. You can try and win a battle with a BB gun. Or somebody can give you a big bazooka and a tank. And then you blow the whole place up. Then you win the battle. You get some nuclear bomb, Rossing supplies to uranium. You make it. Did you know that? Where's the Rossing people here? That the 17% or 30% of Rossing is owned by the government of Iran or what? Yes, the government of Iran. That's weird. What? Why do they need uranium? Anyway, praise God. Luckily, they don't enrich that uranium in this country. And hopefully they don't send that stuff back. Anyway, where was I? Oh, so these gifts, we can try in the natural and fight and save and sort out Swakopmund. And we can shoot with a BB gun. And we'll have to shoot at one person 20 of us and we might get him. Or we can use God's gifts, let these gifts minister through us, work through us, and then we have a tank. Then we have a nuclear bomb. Then stuff works. Amen. So this faithful stewards of the extremely diverse powers and gifts granted to Christians by unmerited favor. I like that, diverse powers. Power for the hour, that's all I say. But God wants us to be stewards of these diverse powers. Ooh, that sounds weird now. But all it means is like this morning when we worshipped, somewhere where the Holy Spirit can just touch people that are sick. Can touch somebody that needs an emotional healing. Somebody with a word, just blessing him. Because I can pray in the natural for them until I'm blue in the face. But if God can give me that word of prophecy or wisdom, it's an instant connection with that person and God. Amen. And that's where I think God is challenging us to. But I'm so excited about it. All right. The next scripture here. I've got lots to share. Who of you know the James Bond movies? It says, James Bond likes his martini, shaken, not stirred. What? Is it shaken, not stirred? Stirred, not shaken. Anyway, stirred, not shaken. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6 to 8. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God. Don't shake it, stir it. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God. Now, if I could give you just a picture of what does this stir mean? We all in Namibia, at least we've got proper fires when we make a braai. It's not a barbecue with some charcoal. We make a proper fire. Haven't you seen them? We even make fires in Swakop, but there's no wood around us. But if you have that fire, now we had a braai the other day, and the only pieces of wood I had left were these thick ones. So like I'm putting blitz in there, and I'm trying to get these things to get on fire. And then I went inside quickly because there was a big fire. And I thought, okay, it's great. It's going to work now. So I go inside just 2 or 3 minutes. I come outside. It's just smoke. It's just smoldering. All this, it's not working. So I had to stir up this fire. You know, I had to put in another little blitz. And I got from my father-in-law this little mechanism that you blow into the fire and then it starts burning. So stirring up your gift is like when that fire is out, you need to get something to stir this thing up again. The fire is supposed to be burning. I need my meat to be well done. So you need to stir it up with some blitz or something, but get it burning again. And in our lives, sometimes we can go through a passage where somebody says, you've got the gift of this, and they pray for you, and you're all fired up, and whoa, you just prophesy to everybody, and then the fire goes down and starts smoking. Stirring up that gift means just somebody, and it doesn't always have to be us, ourselves, that stir up that gift. Sometimes it's the body of Christ that must recognize, and that's why we have zone coaches and small group leaders and all those funny named people in our church. But it is for us to see, brother so-and-so is making smoked meat rather than, he's smoking. He's not burning the meat. He's not cooking the meat properly. And it can be for him himself to go and stir up that gift. But sometimes people are just tired. They just don't want to burn anymore. They're finished and klaar. And then it's for us to pick it up and say, let me go and stir up that gift. Let me just lay hands on him again and bless him. Amen. First Timothy 4 verse 14 to 15. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance, with the laying of hands by the presbytery or by the elders. If you've seen this show, America's Got Talent, have you seen that? Do you like it? Who have you not seen America's Got Talent? You also have Britain's Got Talent or something. Britain's Got, UK's Got Talent. I don't know what it is. But you get these people, it's a show where the people must come and show their talents, and then if they win, they get $1 million, and then they can have a show in Las Vegas. They get all that done. But then you sometimes get these people, they've got these amazing talents. They sing or they play guitar or all kinds of weird things. But they just don't have the confidence. So they're performing, and now it's the first time in front of lots of people. And then some of the judges then tell them, listen, we can see your talent. You're amazing. But you need to work on your confidence a little bit. Let us just encourage you. You know, you've got the gift. We can see it. Just get the confidence. Because if you have the confidence, people pick up if you're confident or not. And this stirring up of that gift is almost like somebody just telling, you know, just get your confidence back. Let me just help you get your confidence. You have the gift. You can do it. You're great. And that confidence is built up. In the same way, God just wants us every now and then that somebody else comes and says, I can see you're not confident. Let me just pray for you. Let me bless you. Or, you know, go back into your closet room and pray and let God just help you with this confidence thing. And it's also amazing to see here in this last scripture, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery or the elders. Sometimes we will recognize, we will see somebody in our small group and we'll say, oh man, pity is going through a tough time. Now, pity doesn't have any more strength to pick himself up. Whose job is it? It's us. It's us that are fine and we're doing all right. It's our job to go and say, let me put your hand on you. And let's trust God for some impartation. But let's get this flame up and burning again. Amen. And I believe the time that we're going through and whatever, just where we're going to, where we're taking the gospel, we're going to have, it's not going to stop. I always say this. The devil is not going to stop coming at us. And the only way in which we will survive is if the body looks out for itself. If your body operates and there's something hurting, it sends the blood, red blood cells, or I don't know, white blood cells, are sent to that thing. The whole body feels it. The whole body is focused on the big toe is hurting now. We must fix it. And unless the big toe is fixed, I can't run. And if I can't run, I can't do my job. The body of Christ must get to a place where we're like this. Somebody's hurting. Alarm bells must go off. We're going to go and help. We're going to lay hands on somebody. But this body needs to get fixed. We can't just cut off the big toe and then go on. And he must just die on his own. Are you with me? That's why small groups and all these structures that we have are so important. Amen. Let me go on. 1 Timothy 4 verse 14 to 15. Practice and cultivate and meditate upon these duties. Throw yourself wholly into them as your ministry so that your progress may be evident to everybody. For me, there's something important in this scripture. It says, throw yourself wholly into them. It's speaking about these gifts so that your progress may be evident to everybody. I must actually say this. This might come as a shock. But if we serve God in our natural, as good as we can, there's a ceiling that we're going to hit. There's a point of progress beyond which we will not get for what God has destined us, for what He's planned for us. I will not get past that unless I start flowing in the gifts that God has given me. Unless the Holy Spirit starts operating through me. I can preach, I can prepare sermons like this for 40 hours. Even that has a ceiling on it. If I operate just in my natural abilities, there's a ceiling to it. And God has not called me to bump my head on a ceiling. He has not called us to bump our heads on a ceiling. He wants us to get past that. We will only get past that once we start flowing in the gifts and start flowing in the Holy Spirit. And this is not a word of condemnation. This is a word of encouragement. God has predestined, put so many things that He has planned for you. When you were created, He saw you doing things for Christ, for God. But those things won't happen if we don't flow in the gifts. If we don't operate in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Are you with me? And this is a place where if you look at a husband or a father that needs to provide, and things go tough. All he thinks of is, I'll work harder. I'll do more. I'll get another job. And we sometimes approach God in the same way. We'll do more. No. We just need to get to another level where we operate in the Holy Spirit. We don't operate in our own fleshly abilities anymore. So that your progress may be evident to everybody. God so loves it when we start flowing in the Holy Spirit. When He can see that it's no longer through now. It's now, I'm now actually working through Him. When He's laying His hands on that person, that word of prophecy, that's not Theo. Theo was just obedient. It's actually me. The Holy Spirit, God working through us. And that's where God wants to get us, to a place. And if we want to accomplish and get to the promises that God has given us, somewhere we'll hit our head, we'll hit. And then we'll have to decide. We're going to surrender now and give over to the Holy Spirit. If you read the book of Benny Hinn is only, and many people have lots to say about him, and I don't know too much of what's going on now, but Benny Hinn's ministry and the healings and stuff that took place through him is because he has a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He listens to the Holy Spirit. He also realized and learned that the Holy Spirit is gentle and soft. He says no softly. And then if you do it, He does not bang down the door and say, turn around. He just leaves. And in the same way, God will call us and say, I want you to do this. You know, go and lay your hands on Petey and prophesy. Give this word to him. Amen. Let's go on. God wants us to flow in these gifts, but it's for us to surrender to the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, maybe it's just white Afrikaner people or most white people. We don't like giving up control. We want to be in control. We want to be in control at the house, in control of the finances, everything. That's why I always get upset, I guess. It's when things go out of control and I can't manage them myself, that's when things, when I get furious. But that's the place where God wants to get to a spiritual place almost and say, but Lord, we're praying for Swakop and only 2 people per 3 months are getting saved. Yes, Theo, please let it go. Let it go. Let my Holy Spirit work through you. Let the gifts work through you. Then the stuff is going to happen. But to let go of that control, it's not easy. Amen. But there's something that we must understand that I just want to touch on. And that is, Christians many times have a bad self-image. And I'm not talking about the natural bad self-image, you know. And please don't look at all these TV channels where it's only the skinny models and the bodybuilders and stuff. Because then you don't look at that if you have a bad self-image. You're going to feel worse after that. Normal people don't look like that anyway. You know? but a spiritually a bad image. Many Christians, when they look at themselves in the mirror, spiritually, they see like a little something. They see something that's, you know, nobody is scared of that. Whatever they're seeing. They don't see God's plans. They don't see Conqueror where Jesus said that you will do more than I did. And that's the thing I want to address. But in order for me to address that, we must understand who we are in Christ. Now, I mean, I can preach a whole sermon on that. I'm not going to do that. James 1 verse 17 to 18. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of His will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among His creatures. Romans 8 verse 17. And if children of God, then heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. Now that the first scripture they spoke about, we are the first fruits of God. We are the pinnacle of His creation. And we're not arrogant when we say that. Jesus and God says that about us. And then Romans 8 verse 17 says that if you are a child of God, you're an heir. It's very difficult for me to pronounce that. I want to say heir or something. In Afrikaans, it means erfgenaam. You're an heir. You partake in the inheritance. What is God's is mine. That's heir. Like I said many times, if you're Bill Gates' children, you'll be rich because you'll inherit, unless Bill Gates and them have a fight or something. But you'll inherit that money. You will be rich because you're Bill Gates' son. And God says that we are heirs. Whatever is from God, we inherit. Now, if God looks himself in the mirror, he does not see a little sheep or something like that. The Bible says Jesus is also called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So if we look at ourselves in the mirror, this morning I want to ask you, what do you see? We've preached about this a few months ago, where the whole, what is a lion, and a lion is brave and all that. But so many times Christians looking at themselves in the mirror, and they don't realize this. I'm an heir to God. What is God's is mine. You know, it's almost as we must take ourselves out of our circumstances and say, I'm no longer a poor person living somewhere in a shack. I have actually been plucked out of that and being put in the kingdom, into the palace, into the king's palace. I'm part of that king and his inheritance. My clothes, old stuff has been taken off. I've been put, given a new robe. I am royalty. That's why Jesus Christ, he says, we are a royal priesthood. But we don't look at ourselves like that. We don't think we're great. And there's a difference between saying or becoming arrogant and just realizing who we are. So when we get saved, God takes off all those old stuff and he puts on the new stuff and he says, you're not a royal priesthood. What does that mean? You inherit this kingdom with me. You rule and reign with me now. Amen? But that is a mind shift that we sometimes have to go through. And many Christians walk with this, and some Christians actually think that self-pity is like a good thing. You know, feeling bad about myself, and, you know, that's humbleness. That's humility. Oh, Lord, thank you that you haven't blessed me with nothing, or whatever. Thank you that I am struggling and I will keep on struggling. Some people, really, I know family members like that. They think, now God likes that. God, this is not humility. That's not humility. That is just a form of pride. If God says, this is who you are, you're a royal priesthood, and you believe you're something else lower than that, that is pride. You're telling God, I don't believe what you're saying. I don't trust you. I don't trust what you say I am. I'll decide who I am. That is self-pity. I've learned. I remember once I was in Windhoek and Pastor Fred preached about this shame thing long ago. But God challenged me. He said, Theo, you must take charge over the shame over your family. I don't want shame in you. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Don't be ashamed of where you come from. If you got saved and if you stand in God's word and in God's calling for your life, there's nothing to be ashamed of. Stop walking around like you pity yourself. You know, get out of that. That's what God told me. And I had to, and sometimes that thing would still want to come over me, but I have to take charge over it. Because I'm part of the royal priesthood. Amen. Okay, now we're actually getting to what I want to say. Romans 8, verse 19. Now with all that background, we are in a time, you know, Christians like saying this. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. The Bible also says we shouldn't profess when he's coming back. We shouldn't say we know, because only God knows. But it seems like it's the last days. And some people say it's like on the last page, and the back page of the last page, or something like that. I don't know, but God's going to come back. And we can start seeing the signs. And the whole creation, let me read this. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Now, if I didn't say what I said today beforehand, you would think sons of God. It's just little children of God, little children playing on a playground. Children is heirs. Children is royal. Sons of God is royal priesthood. We carry the mantle. We carry the mandate of God. This scripture says, for the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. Verse 19. The world is waiting for you to manifest the sonship of God. Who's the answer to the problems in this world? Not the government. Not the World Bank or the UN. Somebody here working for the UN. I've not seen a war where the UN got involved where they could actually stop the war. But anyway, that's territory I shouldn't go on to. But the answers of this world, and Scripture says, does not lie with governments and presidents. If he's corrupt, leave him alone. The answers to this world, creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Waiting for the sons of God, us, everybody that believes in Jesus Christ, to manifest his glory, to manifest the gifts, to manifest just, you know, okay, now I'm on about this gift thing, but it is just to manifest what God has placed inside of us. That thing that Jesus said, you will do greater things than I did, they're waiting for that. Creation is experiencing, you know, all the sin that's happening around it with TV and movies, that it's groaning. It's like somebody just before childbirth, sorry to say that, but it's pain. It's something that they want to get. They want to get rid of the pain. And we sitting with the key. My the sermon's topic was what? Gift to the world. If we can realize here this morning that if you go to small group again, or to go to any church thing again, that I have something to give you today. Yes, you can receive. We all need to receive at some time, at some place, and some of us just need lots of receiving. But if you can walk in any situation, at work, wherever, saying, I've got something to give you. Are you with me? I've got a gift. I've got something that I can dispense. This chaotic situation at work, where everybody's divorcing everybody, just an example now, where I find myself at work, where the company's going down, where marriages are falling apart, they're waiting for who? They're waiting for me to manifest here. They're waiting for the gift of God to manifest here. I am the key. I am the one. I'm the channel that can manifest here and that can set things straight. Amen? Verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I just want to mention in this scripture once again that if we cannot do this, we cannot manifest these gifts, we cannot be the gift to the world if we try and do it ourselves. This scripture says we will have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. We have to pray in the Spirit and ask God in the Spirit, help us to get through this. Help us, show me what I should be doing here. Because if we just start shooting in the flesh, we're going to just hurt people and do all kinds of wrong things. And then verse 36, just as it is written. Are the worship team going to play something, or are you going to play some things? Let me just read. Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered, but it's important for us to see the scripture. I prepared my sermon and then I listened to Pastor Fred's, one of his latest sermons, and this comes from him, his sermon. It's just so amazing. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. It doesn't say we are sheep. You know, because a sheep is not a fearful thing. And many people sitting here this morning, you don't only consider yourself as a sheep, you think you're a sheep. What I mean by this, we are all sheep, God calls us sheep, and we follow Jesus Christ. But in the spiritual, we think we're like this little thing. We think we're not going to do anything, God's not going to do anything. My father's told me I'll never do something, I'll never get somewhere. I believe what he says. My teacher tells me that every day. And we think we're sheep. We consider ourselves to be sheep. We consider ourselves to be weak. When we look at this in the mirror, we see ourselves, we think, he can do it. I can't do it. But this scripture says, we were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. In Revelations, there's a picture where it depicts Jesus Christ as the Lamb, but then later on as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus Christ had to die for us as the Lamb, as the sheep, so that His blood can flow. But after that, He's no longer a Lamb. He is a Lion of the tribe of Judah. And we, if you look at yourself in the mirror, we're not little lambs. You are not a lamb. The devil is afraid of you. The Bible also says the devil constantly, what's that scripture? He reminds us of our sins. He constantly reminds you of your weaknesses, of your faults, of your pity. Look at what you did again. He'll constantly do that. And then we see sheep when we look in the mirror. But this morning I want to challenge you. Start seeing a lion. Start seeing somebody that God has called. Start seeing somebody that can flow in the gifts that God has given you. Start being a gift to the world. I mean, there's still this, I don't think it's in our church, but there's still this thing that it's only the church leadership and all those people that must do all the great things for God. No. The whole creation waits for the revealing of who that the pastors. No, the sons of God. All of us. Just this, three more scriptures. I always like sharing this at a school, because I wish I knew this when I was at school. Or I wish I could experience this when I was at school, because I thought I was a little nobody. And Christianity was like for the weak. Christianity was for the people that never make it. Christianity was for the losers. That's what I felt. But I was so blinded. If I could just know when I was at school what I know now, I would have given my life to God the moment I could. Because the world tells us that what the world can give us is this first prize. And if you can't get it, we'll give you third prize. Become a Christian, please. And now I've seen that this is wrong. This is completely wrong, and people believe this. First prize is Christianity. And third prize is all the nonsense we get. We just accept. We just accept brokenness. We accept that it's cool to go out and drink and party and all that stuff. It's absolute nonsense. But it's just veils in front of our eyes that need to be taken off by the Holy Spirit so that we can see what is first prize. Paul says, Paul, the man that persecuted the church, that wanted to go out and kill Christians because they are weird and they're wacky and they're stupid and what they believe, just get it out. These people are going to destroy our traditions and our religion. He changed. And this is what he says. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is a power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now in Paul's case, it was he persecuted the church. In our case, it might just be, or anybody here that's this morning that has never received Jesus Christ, you're ashamed of the gospel. You know, gospel is for losers. The gospel is for people that can't make it. Yes, it's for all people. But ultimately, God wants us to be victorious and have life and life in abundance. And if I could just have what I have now, and it's not out of arrogance, my son, my kid's daughter, for daughter first. Heidi says we can have a daughter first. And then a son. They're going to know this when they're at school. They're not going to walk in there and like, oh, I'm not going to say I'm a Christian. Because I'm a loser. I'm going to say I'm a Christian because I'm a winner. Because I'm a conqueror. They must walk down, not with arrogance, but I see this in Pastor Fred's sons and these wonderful kids. They walk in there and they're not intimidated by these people. I want to tell them, if you don't go to parties, you're not making it. They walk in there and say, I know what I have. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. You would like to be like me. If the scales fall from your eyes, you would actually see you'd like to be like me. You'd like to have the confidence that I have. I'm talking about just Christians. Amen. Okay, the last scripture, and then we can. Let's stand while we read these last two scriptures. But if this. You know, just before. When God, there's various times in His Word where He asks His people to cross over a river. First they had to, from Egypt, they had to cross over the river and into the promised land. What God wanted them to leave behind is that spirit of slavery. He wanted them to grasp it and understand that if I cross over now, I leave Egypt in Egypt and I was a slave in Egypt. I must leave it there. I'm walking into the promise of God and I'm no longer a slave. I'm not a sheep. I'm a lion. But fear gets in the middle there. But if the spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba Father. Now many times I've looked at the scripture and then I see spirit of adoption as sons. Then I also think of just this, it's just this warm, loving feeling of God. It is that. But it also means you receive your sonship. You receive your inheritance from God. You go from Egypt, not a spirit of slavery. You leave the slave mentality behind and you go out. And now when you look in the mirror, you don't see a slave, you see a lion. And many times, or this morning, I believe God just wants to tell certain people here, with His grace and His humbleness and gentleness, is that just leave the slave behind. You know? Leave that fear behind and come and receive sonship. Come and see yourself differently when you look in the mirror. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Father, we thank You that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Father, we help us not to be arrogant. We don't want to be arrogant. But we do want to understand this sonship thing, this gift. We do want to be gifts to the world. We do want to manifest as the sons of God. The creation is waiting. Swakopmund is waiting. Walvis Bay is waiting. Namibia is waiting for us to manifest God's gifts. Father, help us not to only receive, but to be gifts. To be a solution to some areas. I just want to ask, I actually want to pray again for those people that have sicknesses in their bodies. Those that raised their hands right in the beginning, that you are sick, you've got some illness. Quick, can you come forward quickly? Just we want to pray again for you and lay our hands on you. Those that are sick, come forward, please. And I'm going to ask all the zone coaches, and Richard, you can also help to pray. Norbert, come and help us to pray here. So the sick people, we're going to pray for you. Can you just stand on this side here? So that we know what to pray for you. Everyone that's sick, I'm going to trust God that you get healed. So Dennis and Jürgen, you must come and help and pray. Quentin, come help us, please. And now let's just bow our heads. We're going to pray for them. But if I want to make another altar call. If you've never stepped from slavery to sonship, if you still believe those lies that your teacher has spoken over you, that your parents have spoken over you, that you will not accomplish, you will not make it, you'll just be like your family. You know, God challenges us every now and then when people come to Him saying, I want you to be the redemptive agent. Meaning, what does God mean by that? I want you to be the one that break the curse. All this destruction in your family line must, you have authority over it. You can stop it here. If you've not stepped from slavery into sonship, we'd like to pray for you this morning. Like it said, they just lay our hands on you and trust God that He will impart His gifts to you and you will understand. If you want prayer in that area, just raise your hand quickly. Who of you want to receive prayer in that area? From slavery to sonship. You can just come forward quickly. And we're going to pray for you. If there are any more that want prayer, then just come forward. And we also want to make an a call, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I mean, that's how we become sons, is by giving our lives to Jesus Christ. If you feel that pulling in your heart, this tugging in your heart, where the Holy Spirit says, come, I want to, come. I want you to become my son. I love you. Don't wait outside there. Don't stand there. Just take the courage. Take that bold step and come forward. And we're going to pray for you. Amen. I'm just going to close in prayer now and then we'll pray for these people. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the spirit of sonship. We thank you for your adoption as sons. We thank you that we will manifest as the sons of God. Wherever we find our feet, we will claim that.